The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He answered them, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "And what is it that we should do?" He told them, "Do not practice extortion, and do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I'm not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached the good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, good morning to everybody. So today is one of 2 days in the entire year that Father Eric will ever wear pink. It ain't gonna happen except for today. And there's another day in Lent for the exact same reason that we celebrate today. Today is called Gaudete Sunday. The other one in Lent is Laudate Sunday. And the two words are both from Latin. They both mean pretty much the same thing, which means to rejoice. Okay, and why are we rejoicing? Well, we're gonna get there later. But this is technically, by the way, it's still not pink. I'm wearing rose-colored vestments, okay? So we don't call them pink. Father Eric never wears pink. So I was listening to Bishop Barron's homily, which is always a good practice. If you don't know what to say, you want to find somebody really smart, go to Bishop Barron, right? And he said something that I thought was kind of intriguing. When he's talking about the fact that today is Gaudete Sunday, and we read this letter from St. Paul to the Philippians, and he begins this reading, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice." Now the interesting thing is, St. Paul isn't saying it would be nice to rejoice. If you want to, you can rejoice. He's putting it in the imperative. You have to rejoice. And the question is, when was the last time anybody ever told you, you have to be happy, you have to be rejoice, or else you're in trouble? It's the question, can you even legitimately do that? Can anyone actually legitimately say, you've got to be happy? And actually, well, the answer is yes, okay? But because we live in a democracy, and I'm not going to force anyone to do anything, the first thing I want to do is tell you, if you choose not to rejoice, I will give you some good advice on how you can be miserable. So the first two tips is, if you want to be miserable, here's how you do it, okay? Number one, and this one is very apropos to our times. The number one way that I can think of to be miserable, and it has been time-tried, tested, and true, and especially in the last few years, is to make yourself a victim. Go around comparing yourself with everything that everybody else has that you don't have, or everything that you think people have that you somehow mystically and magically deserve. Whether or not you put in the work or whether or not you have the talent, for example, going to an Ivy League university or getting a Wall Street job or whatever the particular thing is, and say that these people are entitled and the entire system is against me, and make yourself a victim. I cannot think of a better way to produce human misery in yourself and in the people around you than to do that, okay? And if you doubt me, all you have to do is open up the newspaper. It's all over the place. So, if you are inclined to be miserable, there's tip number one. Tip number two is a little more subtle, okay? And like most good ideas, I didn't think of this. I stole this one from Father Raniero Cantalamesso, who finally he's not, but for 40 years was like the preacher, not just to any old people, the preacher to Pope St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict and Pope Francis. So if you're going to, you know, steal from somebody, you may as well steal from the best. So Father Cantalamessa, in one of his homilies, mentions this. He says, look, part of the problem is this. Part of the reason is that we don't seem to succeed in being happy and therefore end up being miserable is we put the cart before the horse. When you seek happiness, divorced from God's will, you will find unhappiness. When you seek God without really taking into consideration, you know, what you get out of it, the end result is you will be happy. If you seek peace, first and foremost, but God is not in the equation, then you will end up miserable and frustrated, and wars and things like that will happen. If you seek God and His will, peace will be the result. Now, that sounds a little counterintuitive, but what does that actually look like? It actually goes back to the Garden of Eden. It goes back to the original sin. If you want to put the original sin of Adam and Eve, you know, take the apple, even though it never says apple, take the fruit of the tree, you want to see what it really comes down to is this. Do things on your own. God is holding out. There's something that He doesn't want you to have. So you should grasp happiness on your own. And if it means putting God in second place, so be it. Now, how successful has that little plan worked? Ever since Adam and Eve messed up and stole the apple, have you analyzed the situation objectively, would you say that, you know, we started out in paradise, they broke God's will, would we consider that the world has become a better place because of that, and that there has produced greater happiness than what Adam and Eve had before the fall? You be the judges. Okay, so those are my two tips for those of you who choose to be miserable. Okay, now for those sick and kind of, you know, twisted people who want to be happy for some strange reason, I'm going to give you also some advice, because this is tried and true, okay? And again, these are not my bright ideas. I'm going to steal from somebody even more illustrious than Father Cantalamessa and even more illustrious than Bishop Barron. And this person you've probably heard of. His first name is Saint and his second name is Paul. Okay, we actually just read it in the letter of the Philippians. When he insists, rejoice in the Lord always. Interesting word, always. You're not even allowed just to have a little bit of misery. You're not even allowed to sulk and feel sorry for yourself and pout, even just a little bit. St. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then, but he says, have no anxiety. And then he gives us the two secrets. If you want to rejoice in the Lord always, here's what you do. Have no anxiety. Okay, we'll add that as the third secret. Number one, have no anxiety at all. Trust in the Lord. Whatever is going on in your life, God has got this. Okay, that doesn't mean that automatically everything that happens is God's will, because frankly, a lot of what happens out there isn't. But when we take our situations, you know, it could be health problems, financial problems, relationship problems, bad weather, floods, my preaching, whatever it is, if you don't like it and it's in your life, you have a choice. I can give this to God. I can offer it up, I can put it in His hands, and He can transform it. That's secret number one. Secret number two, and here's the drum roll, because frankly, being a Catholic, you already know what the answer is. Prayer. I'm not making it up. St. Paul says, have no anxiety at all by prayer and petition. So, means, if we are men and women who pray regularly and deeply, we will have interior peace. And if we don't, that means by not praying, we will be going it alone, and the consequences that we have all experienced many times in our lives will be what we get. We'll be anxious, we will be frustrated, we will be whatever, judgmental, critical, all those things that make us unhappy. And thirdly, and I would say this is almost the most important, this is the hardest probably. No anxiety by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. And this is what I would like to kind of wrap up the homily with. Okay, what is the difference between happy people and unhappy people? So often, it's going to come down to, as opposed to complaining about what we don't have and feeling envious and feeling like I'm a victim, what is the reverse of that? It pretty much comes down to being grateful, recognizing what are the things for which I should be grateful. We have so many things to be grateful for. First of all, you exist, all right? You might not exist. Some of you wish you wouldn't exist, but anyway, that's because, revert back to point number one, you choose to be miserable. Okay? But there are crosses in our lives. But the reality is this. If you exist, it means you have the chance for a relationship with God, and it means you have the chance to go to heaven, and God is going to give you all the means that you need to do so. That's something we should be grateful for. You're baptized Catholics. You're here in this church. You're about to receive God Himself into your hearts. You have family members who love you. You have friends. You have relatively more or less good health, depending on who you are. There are so many things we can be grateful for. And if we focus on that, magically speaking, we will tend to be happier. I'm going to give you a little anecdote, and then before we wrap up. Some of you have heard this because I'm not very creative and I always preach about the same things, but so be it. So when I used to live in the Philippines, I would bring young adults out onto this tropical island and we would do Holy Week missions. And that was a great, you know, moment for the missionaries to think about their gratitude, because I was dealing with kids that, you know, it's a country with a big social divide. So I'm dealing primarily with kids that were spoiled rich kids that live in houses with a maid and a cook and a gardener and a driver and possibly a bodyguard. I'm not exaggerating, because it didn't pay very much to pay these, or cost very much to pay these people for those jobs, so why not? And they went to the nice schools. And then I would take them out during Holy Week to this island, which has no running water. The roads are all dirt. Very limited electricity. Sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. You know, there's pigs and chickens and fishing and coconut trees. That's pretty much how people get by. They just live, you know, with their pigs and their chickens and their fishing and whatever. So one time, this was years ago, back when the iPhone was a new thing. Okay, you remember when, I don't even remember, like 2008 maybe, 2000, something like that. Right around when smartphones were just getting going and it was the cool thing. So there's this one kid that did the mission with me, and he was the guy that always had to have the latest. Whatever the latest version of the Air Jordans were, he had them. He was wearing them. Whatever the latest version of, I don't know what, watch, he had it. He had the iPhone because it was new and it was cool. And, you know, he was always looking to these things to be happy. So we'd been on this island for about 2 days. There's this one little girl. She's super cute. Her name's like maybe 6 years old. Her name was Carla. You know, running around barefoot all the time. About 2 days into the mission, I look and I see this guy in this earnest conversation with this six-year-old, and she's dangling her feet. They're sitting on this, like, there's this wall that's only halfway built because somebody's working on their house, and she's sitting there dangling her feet, and he's there. And I'm looking at him, and she's just innocent, and he's looking super intense. So afterwards, I said, "Hey, what were you talking to Carla about?" And he said, "Father, I've been on this island for 2 days now, and I realized everybody here is happier than I am. And they don't have anything." So instead of talking to me, he chooses Carla, the six-year-old, maybe because she's happier than I was, I don't know. And he goes to spiritual direction with the six-year-old, okay? And so I said, "Well, what did Carla tell you?" He says, "Well, I'm listening to her. So I asked her, you guys, you don't have anything. Why are you so happy?" And she says, "Well, I've got my mom and my dad, and I've got some friends, and I've got food, and what else do you need?" And the kid was just like, he almost fell off the wall and had a heart attack right there. Okay? Wisdom from a six-year-old. A kid who was grateful because she had food, friends, parents, and she was barefoot. And what else do you need? And she was totally happy. So, if you want to be happy, those are the tips. Have no anxiety, pray, and be grateful to God. And if, on the other hand, you choose to be miserable, you already know how to do it, Complain, make yourself a victim, and try to seek happiness on your own without adding God to the equation. Guaranteed solution. Guaranteed you will be unhappy. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.